Listen, High Priest Joshua, you and your associates seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come, I am going to bring my servant the branch. See the stone I have set in front of Joshua? There are seven eyes on that one stone, and I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord Almighty, and I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. In that day, each of you will invite your neighbor to sit under your vine and fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty. May God bless those who read and obey his word.
The image that you see is a very expensive diamond ring. It is housed, placed inside a very old box. So is the diamond ring still very precious? Of course, despite the old-looking box. Now, in the same way, Christians have a most precious life. This life is called the resurrection life. This life is special because it has a presence of God. Can you imagine the very presence of God? The Almighty God who created the heaven and the earth, the awesome God, the God who exists from eternity past to eternity future. This God actually lives in us. So that's why this life that we have, that Christian's life, is a very precious life, because God lives in us. And this life is housed in a weak body. It's a weak body because it is a body that will sin, there's many weaknesses, that will fall sick. And furthermore, this body is also a very difficult body because he has to face the onslaughts of the world, the pressures of life. He has to face the difficult people. He has to face sicknesses. So the question is this. We have this very precious life, the presence of God, the very presence of the Almighty God living in us. The presence of God. So can we, in this life, the harshness of life, can we experience the benefits of this, the benefits, the victory that this presence of God that lives in us, that he gives us? So the question is, can we experience the goodness, the benefits, the glory of this glorious life? And today we want to look at Zechariah chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. I want to tell you, I want to persuade you that you can. Despite the impossibility, to be honest, it is not only difficult to experience victory in life, it is near impossible. Life is very difficult. It's a very difficult journey. When you are young, you have to struggle through your studies. All right? You do your studies. And then that you start to handle your work stress, pressure stress, family stress. And then you have to face difficult people. And as you age, you start to face this disease, that sickness, and this body is unwell. Then it falls sick. And then we have all kinds of problems. It's such a difficult life. So in the reality of the harshness of life, the difficulties of life, can we experience this glorious life? Sometimes it's very jarring. On the one hand, we say that we have this glorious life living in us. But yet, on the other hand, we are struggling through life. Then we say, hey, where is this glory that the Bible promises us? So we ask, I want to persuade you to tell you that it is a fact that you can. And we shall see how. The people of God, the Israelites, in the book of Zechariah, they will experience something like what we experienced. They experienced, they sinned against God, and because they sinned against God, God sent the foreign superpowers to invade them, destroy the nation, and they were under the harsh rule of the different superpowers. Life was difficult. They were second-class citizens, their children, their families, they were bullied. Life was very difficult. And they know that they need the presence of God. And they wanted to build a temple of God. Because the temple of God is not only a building, the temple of God signifies the presence of God, the very presence of God. So they say that we must build a temple so that we can experience the presence of God, and then God can help us to live life. So the question for them then was this: are they able to build the temple of God and experience the presence of God in the midst of so many jarring oppositions? And For New Testament Christians like us, we ask the same similar question. Can we as Christians, in the harshness of life, continue to experience, to build our life, the invisible temple in us, the invisible temple in us? Can we experience the presence of God, build this life up so that we can experience the very presence of God? And I want to tell you, yes, the answer is yes. I want to persuade you from the text. We shall look at chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. We've been studying the book of Zechariah, verse 8. Listen, High Priest Joshua, you and your associates seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come. Who are these associates? These associates assist the High Priest Joshua in doing the work of a priest. And what is the work of a priest? Now, the work of a priest, he works in the temple. And the work of a priest is one. He's a mediator between sinful human beings and a holy God. So that by his mediatorial work, by the middleman's work, he can bring down the favor, the presence of God down on earth to the people of God, so that people of God can enjoy and enjoy the benefits of the presence of God. So that's the work of a high priest. It is to mediate between sinful human beings and holy God, so that God shows favor to us. So can his associates succeed in building the temple of God in the midst of opposition from the enemies? So can his associates build the temple of God? So do you want to build a temple of God to bring down God's presence and blessing? And Christians are doing the same work. Today, Christians are New Testament priests. Today, Christians are New Testament priests. We too can be a source of blessing. We too can bring the presence of God into our family, our friends, our school, our work, our working place. We can bring the presence of God into our lives, every aspect of our life. Do you know that this is a fact? That wherever Christians go, that place will be a place of blessing. You say, is it true? Of course it's true. Look at history. Do you know that the idea of hospitals, where did the idea of hospitals come from? Now, the idea of hospitals was invented by Christians. You know that? Because of Christians, there's a hospital. And to elaborate further, top universities like Yale or Harvard, do you know that they were started not to train doctors, not to train engineers, not to train lawyers, no? They were started for one express purpose. The initial purpose, it was to train clergymen, to train pastors. And as they trained pastors, they decided also to put in other disciplines like medicine school, law school, engineering, etc., etc. But the first purpose is to train clergy. So you see, because of top universities like Yale, Harvard, the world was blessed. And there are many Christian schools in Singapore. I'm not saying that they're perfect, but it's a fact that there are many good Christian schools in Singapore and elsewhere. The world has become a better place because of Christians. By chance? No, it's not by chance. It is precisely what this Bible says. Christians are capable of mediating the presence of God down to you and me, to the lay people, to the world. Amazing, isn't it? Now, this is called Christian. And not only that, have you ever experienced this? That where sometimes at your workplace, you're rejected. He's weird, different from us. Because we hold on Christian values, we live a holy life, we don't drink, we don't pop. So there was one engineer, the boss said, you don't drink, come here. Because he has to go to a smoking place just to build some rapport with his colleagues. So they go to where the boss and drink wine. And then he order orange squash. Say, the waiter tells, hey, boy, you drink orange squash, ask your mother make for you, lah. But Christians are different, Different, right? Christians are different. But do you know something, that when people are in trouble, you know who they ask for help? They ask for Christians' help. Hey, can you pray for me or not? So usual days, they will not ostracized. They will treat them as a weird bunch of people. But when the real things of life come, they will seek the help of Christians. They say, hey, can you pray for me? Now, it tells us something, doesn't it? It tells us that where Christians go, wherever Christians are, that place becomes a place of blessing. And this is how this should be the case. You see, but it's not the case for me. It's all right. It's not too late. Today, I want to tell you this should be the case. Work at it. You'll come through. Because of your presence, your school, your job, your family has become a better place. Christians are very strong. Why are we very strong? Because we are symbolic of things to come. In us, our life is not a symbol. It's not just a superficial symbol. It's a symbol in the sense that it has the qualities, not complete, but it has the initial qualities, the prototype. The prototype, the trial run type, the prototype of greater things, of future glory. In other words, just as the future glory is almighty, has the almighty strength, the prototype has a little bit, a foretaste of that almighty strength, that almighty glory. And that's the reason why Christians are so amazing. Not perfect, not sinless, definitely not. But we are symbolic of the future glory. And why are we symbolic of future? Why are we so special? Why do we have that strength? Because there are two reasons. Number one, because we are symbolic of the branch. What is the branch? I'll explain. Number two, why are we so special? Because we are symbolic of the stone. What stone? I'll explain. And because we are symbolic of the branch, just as the branch has special strength, Christians, because we are symbols of the branch, we enjoy that strength. We have that taste of it. We have that nature of it. No, do not complete. And we are symbolic of the stone, just as the stone has strength. Therefore, it is we Christians, because we are symbolic of the stone, we also have that initial, that prototype nature. And therefore, in other words, when I say symbolic, it means that we are actually empowered by the branch, by the stone, so that we can represent the future glory. Number one, we shall talk about the branch. I am going to bring my servant the branch. Now, who is the branch? What is the branch? The branch, the word itself tells you something. Some people translate it as the sprout, S-P-R-O-U-T. It's a good translation. If you give me a choice, I might choose to translate it as the sprout rather than the branch. But branch is fine. So, I'm going to bring my servant called the branch. And branch, the basic meaning of it, it means it grows. Not that it has life. It is vibrant with life. That's why it grows, right? And plants are amazing, you know. You know, wherever you go out in the streets, or even in the dry weather of Singapore that's so hot, you find that you cannot stop the grass from growing, right? There'll be grass, there'll be some wildflowers here and there. You cannot stop growth, no? Now, this is the meaning. The branch tells you that it has life. It will sprout up life. In other words, not only does it have life, the life is unstoppable. To what degree is it unstoppable? What kind of is it? It's a powerful life, it's unstoppable life, but to what degree? If I look further afterwards, it has the power of an unstoppable kingdom. Kingdom signifies holistic power, holistic life. Just like, for example, Singapore, we are doing well, not simply because we have students who are good at mathematics or science, right? Or we are very, very intelligent people. Well, you can debate about that. Or not simply because we have a very nice seaport, right? But Singapore is doing well because it is well holistically. So politically, political stability, economic stability, and then there is infrastructure for defense, infrastructure for commerce. It is very holistic. And then we build good relationships with our neighbors so that Singapore is a holistic entity, holistic country. And that's the meaning of it. The branch is powerful because it has the power, the life of a kingdom, And this, the life is unstoppable. It is complete in itself. Everything you need, you can find. A kingdom means what? Everything you need, you can find in this thing called kingdom. And the life is unstoppable. That's how powerful it is. Notice it has a wholesome life. It is unstoppable kingdom means it has wholesome life in it. And that is true. There's a sister, Christian sister, in this church. This Christian sister has many sicknesses. This la, that la. Life is very difficult for her. But this sister, although she faces so many problems, sicknesses in the body, and then problems at work, problems with colleagues, problems with the boss, et cetera, but yet this sister is like a, it's a Bu Dao Wong. Mr. And it says a miss, miss fall not. Bu Dao Wong, because it is, the base is very heavy, so you push it right, and then it bounces back again, right? Then push it, and it bounces back again, right? Now this sister is like a Bu Dao Wong. Mr. Miss fall not. No matter how hard you push, somehow she will bounce back. And I can understand why she is able to bounce back, because if you speak to her, and she's not the only one. To be honest, there are many people here in the Chinese congregation. She's not the only one. I only single out her, not because she's special, but she's only one of the many many sisters or brothers that you can find here. A lot of Mr. Fall Knots in churches, including this church, in the Chinese, in the English congregation. And I call her, why do I say that she's a Bu Dao Wong? Because she is facing many problems on all fronts. Family problems, health problems, work problems, all kinds of problems. But yet she was able to go through day by day with peace and joy. Why? If you talk to her, she's a lady, a sister who trusts a God, who has faith in the Lord. She walks with the Lord. She reads her Bible. She without fail, she comes to church unless she's sick. She's persistent in studying the Bible, in praying, in memorizing scriptures. She has faith in God. And that's why her life is so, there's life in her. She cannot fall. And she was, how well was she managing? So there were numerous occasions where the boss said, I'm going to cut down manpower, restructuring. So there were several occasions where she was on the verge of losing her job. But you know something? Last year, despite the fact that the boss wanted to retrench her and so on, last year her appraisal was one of the best, if not the best. Let me just elaborate. Have you ever wondered why there are... Do you know that all of us here, we have our own burdens? We come to church, put on a smile, right? But don't be deceived. Smiles are deceptive. Don't be deceived by the smile. Meaning that if you speak to some Christians here, you know that they are facing health issues, work issues, family issues, etc., etc. But yet, when they come to church, not only do they put on a smile, they could say, when they hear of somebody who's in trouble, they say, yeah, I pray for you. And sometimes, despite that they are not very rich, they even, if need be, they even, out of their own pocket, give money, And then encourage. And then call, spend like, hey, how about you? Over the weekdays, I heard you, hey, how, is it better or not? Over the week, not only weekends, weekdays, they give a call to follow up on this sister or brother who's sick. Have you ever wondered why people who are facing so many issues in life could still have energy to care for people? And sometimes you pay a price to care for people. Have you ever wondered? It's amazing, isn't it? Now that's the reason why, because we have the life of the branch. Because our life has the life of a branch. Unstoppable kingdom. What is this branch? Let me just elaborate slightly on what this branch is. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 15-16, it elaborates on the branch. It's an important cross-reference to understand the meaning of the branch. In those days and that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout. See, sprout is a good translation. Sprout from David's line. The background of this passage was the people of God, the Israelites, the Jews sinned against God. God was very angry, and so God sent the foreign powers to invade them, destroy them, their land, and they started their extreme sufferings. But when the Lord loves us, the Lord will never give up on us. The Lord loves us with an everlasting love. This is how God could do so. Despite all our failings, the Lord doesn't stop loving us. The Lord continues to love us, persuade us to return to Him, care for us. We fall, but He will ensure that we don't fall beyond redemption. We don't fall beyond grace. It will never happen. We don't lose our salvation. And the Lord is very good. So the Lord promised His people. He says, in those days, there'll come a day and a time where I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. And this David's line means what? He's saying that there will a king, David, when you talk about David, you talk about king. I will raise up a king from the line of David. He will do what is just and right in the land. Verse 16, in those days, Judah, meaning the country of Israel, Judah will be saved. And the capital of Judah, which is Israel, Jerusalem, will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. In other words, there'll come a day where I will raise up a Savior. And He names His Savior, He calls His Savior using another term called the branch that will sprout out, or the sprout. In other words, what is this branch? This branch promises, because of this, the strength of the branch, the power of the branch, will ensure that Israelites return home from exile. The power of the branch will ensure that sins are forgiven so that God will no longer be angry and punish His people anymore. The power of the branch will ensure that northern Israel and southern Judah, the land of Israel, the land God's, where God's people stay, will be rebuilt. The power of the branch will ensure that the capital of Israel, Jerusalem, will be, the fame will be restored. And what is this branch? This branch, we already got a hint there, David's line, a king that comes from David's line. So this branch is actually David's dynasty will be restored. David's, today Israel doesn't have a king. But the Bible promises that one day, the king that ruled this land of Israel many, many years ago, one day God will restore it. David's dynasty will be restored. And what is this David's dynasty? When will it be restored? When Jesus becomes King of Kings. In the end times. And in other words, this branch is Jesus Christ. So in other words, the reason why Christians have the ability to emit life so that we enjoy life in the midst of great suffering is because our life is very tight, is tied up. It's tied up with this, the life of the branch, the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the life is a resurrection life. And so we have the resurrection life to navigate through life. And this branch is an all-powerful branch. That's why we are symbol of the branch. The branch is powerful because we are symbols of the branch. Christians also enjoy this power. We tap into this power. A foretaste, not complete, but a foretaste of this power. In other words, Christians, we experience the branch's power. And this branch, in other words, this branch is a powerful kingdom. Politically, economically, spiritually. And that's the reason why our life, we have enough life, enough power in our life to navigate through life's very difficult journey. You must believe this. You cannot doubt it. I want to tell you what the promises that God has for you. I want you to know where you stand. Because sometimes have you ever seen a millionaire son begging on the streets? A millionaire son begging on the street. No? Say, hey, this millionaire son, how come you're on the streets? No money. You have. Your father is the richest person on earth, a multi-billionaire. Say, you see, I didn't know. Now, of course, it's ridiculous. But I'm just trying to say that sometimes we are like that, no? Or there's an eagle. This eaglet sees other eagles flying. Say, wow, look at the way they fly. They catch the wind and then they cruise with the wind, no? Wow, so envious. How I wish I can, this eaglet, this baby eagle says, how I wish I can fly like an eagle.
Then what would you tell this eagle? Hey, you're an eagle, what? You can fly, what? You mean I can do, what? Yeah, you can. Now, sometimes Christians are like that. Do you know that we have an immeasurable volume of power in us? We have the presence of God. How can we not fly and serve like an eagle? We can. So I want to tell you that you're capable of doing it. All you need to do is step out and do it. Don't hesitate. Like, cannot make it. Very difficult. Very difficult. Cannot make it. Life is too difficult. And so on and so forth. And then, but Christians are like a rubber band. Is it a rubber band? Have you ever put rubber band? Don't put it on. Hey, don't pull. It's going to snap. And then pull some more, no? Hey, didn't just snap, right? Now, Christians are a rubber band. So I want to tell you, you are a rubber band. You're capable of going beyond what you are doing now. If only you would trust God. If only you step out of your comfort zone and do it. So your life is more powerful than what you think. Therefore, what you need to do is you must go and build your Christian life. As the Israelites, they must take courage and build a temple in the midst of opposition. Same here. If you're going to experience the presence of God in your life, then you must step out of your comfort zone. Courageously go and build your Christian life. Pay a price to build a Christian life. You'll succeed. I have seen amazing Christians, good testimonies. For example, I know of one orthopedic doctor. I know there are some orthopedic doctor. He's listed, he has already retired, but he's listed as the top 10 doctors in Singapore, orthopedic. Some of you may know who I'm talking about. So he's very busy. He's very busy, very busy. He's an elder, he serves in church, he preaches, he's in this committee, that committee, and so on and so on. So he's very, very busy. But yes, he's a top doctor. So what I'm trying to tell you is this. Sometimes we think that I'm so busy with life, it is not possible for me to punch above my weight as a Christian. But that's not true. You can punch above your weight. Christians must live above mediocrity. Life is so short. In a twinkling of eye, your head would grate, one leg is stepped into the coffin. Your life is about to end. Don't let potato to come. Live above mediocrity. You're capable of doing that. You're an eagle. Fly. So therefore, go and build our Christian life. Step out of comfort zone and start building a Christian life. Start doing what you know you should do as a Christian. Start doing what pastor tells you to do. God's pastor urges you from that you have to be faithful in this and that thing. Trust God. Therefore, we are capable of enjoying reaping the benefits of the presence of God, victorious living, because we are a symbol of the branch. Because the branch has an unstoppable life. Number two, why are we capable of enjoying the benefits of the presence of God so that you can live a victorious life? Because we are a symbol of the stone. We are a symbol of the stone. And what is the stone? Verse 9. See the stone I've set in front of Joshua? There are seven eyes on that one stone and one engraved, an inscription on it. Says that, O Lord, Yahweh Almighty, L-O-R-D, as I've said, in uppercase, it means Yahweh. But the English Bible translates it as L-O-R-D in uppercase. So Yahweh Almighty, and I'll remove the sin of this land in a single day. Why are Christians powerful? Because we have the power of the branch. Why are Christians powerful? Because we have the power of the stone. And what is a stone? If you want to understand the importance of this stone, you must understand some premises. You must understand some concepts. You must understand the importance of holiness. You must understand the importance of holiness in your life. Personal holiness, corporate holiness. For example, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, it says, those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, prepared to do any, I think the word there is pan, which is all good works, every good works. The Greek word is pan. Pan Island Expressway. An expressway that leads to everywhere. That's why it's called pen. It comes from the word pan, huh? Pen, huh? Greek pen. Pen Island Expressway. So, to do all good works, any good work. That's the Greek word there.
And the point is this. So why must Christians, people who want to serve God, why must you be a Christian? People who want to serve God, not only must you be a Christian, you must be a clean instrument. Because God is more concerned about what kind of person you are than what you can do. God is more concerned about what is inside you before he's concerned about what you do with your talents, your gifts, how you serve in church. So in other words, before you serve, God is more concerned about is your inside clean? And so that's the reason why before we serve God, it is important if you are going to be useful for God, the inside here must be clean. There must be holiness. Then when you collect your offerings, then when you read the scriptures, when you teach the Sunday school, when you preach, when you do any work, God can use you. Because even by that simple act of that service, people can feel the Holy Spirit flowing out from you. And you'll be surprised, people will be touched by the way you collect offerings, by the way you read, by the way you carry yourselves, by the way you greet people, by the way you teach. God can use you because inside is clean. When you are clean, you have the power of 10 horses. So says somebody. Holiness is critical. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord Yahweh? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who can ascend the mountain of God? Who may stand in his holy place? Means who can associate with God? Who can have fellowship with God? With whom will God talk like friend to friend? You see, this person who has clean hands that comes from a pure heart. Clean hands that flows from a pure heart. Holiness. Without holiness, no one can see God. Without holiness, no one can be accepted by God. That's the reason why I sometimes tell non-Christians, if you are not a Christian, there's no point praying, you know, because your prayers will never be heard by God. Why? It's not that I'm trying to be nasty. I'm not trying to throw cold water. Because if your sins are not cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ thoroughly, God cannot accept you. So you pray into the air. And this is the meaning of, this is the importance of holiness. Another one, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Many of us do not understand the extent of the holiness of God. But you look at the cross. God hates sin so much that he has to send his only one and only son, Jesus Christ, to solve the problem of sin. Now you tell me, don't you think that sin is so powerful that only the Son of God, who is God himself, can solve the problem? And that's the extent of God cannot tolerate wrongdoing. So much so that he has no choice but to send his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to solve the problems here. It's so serious. He hates it so much that he has to send Jesus to solve it. Woe to me, I cried, I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. The occasion was Isaiah saw the glory of God. When he saw the glory of God, he said, I'm finished. I died. Why? Because I've seen the glory of God. Because no one can see God and not die. Why? Because he feels, when he in the presence of God, he suddenly feels that suddenly the sinful things in him is recalled, is brought to his attention. He said, oh, I'm so terrible. I'm going to die. God is going to kill me. So I want to tell you that this is how awesome the holiness of God is. And this is, God cannot tolerate sin. And if you understand this, you will understand that that's the reason why if you are going to be used by God, if you are going to be effective in your service for God, if you are going to enjoy the favor of God, you must remove sin. With that, we look at verse 9. Verse 9, see the stone I have set in front of Joshua. There are 7 eyes on that one stone, and I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord Almighty, and I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. And what is this stone? This stone, I do not mean to go into, this is not a Bible commentary, but I want to tell you the common understanding of this stone. This stone
Some people understand it to be the foundation stone of a building. Do you know only this? You don't pound piles or columns or piles into the deep earth to build the foundation. So those days, you don't have a pounding machine. So what do? They have a cornerstone. Okay, so they put one main stone here, a proper stone, and then all the other stones will take alignment from this cornerstone. Okay, so so this stone, some people understand it to be the cornerstone, the foundation stone of a building. I don't think so. Why? Because this stone, the word stone in Hebrew, we know that the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and translated in English, Bahasa Melayu, etc., etc., right? So this stone in Hebrew, in the originals, whenever the word stone is used with the word inscription, almost invariably, it refers to the precious stone on the priest's clothing, on the uniform of a priest. So what is the purpose? So what is this stone? This stone signifies, represents what the priest is doing. This stone represents what the work of a priest. And what's the work of a priest? It's to remove sins of God's people so that God can show favor to his people. It's to mediate between sinful human beings and a holy God by removing the sins of people through offering sacrifices, lambs, goats, etc., etc., so that God can show favor to sinful human beings. So that's the work of a priest. And this precious stone on the priest's clothing represents the cleansing power that this priest offers to his people, to the people of God. So this precious stone signifies the cleansing of sins. And this stone, how good is this stone? How good is the cleansing power signified, indicated, represented by this stone? There are seven eyes. These seven eyes, another translation is seven facets. There are two translations. Either translation is fine. But to clarify the meaning, I use the word facets. And seven in the Hebrew mind, in the mind of a Jew, means perfect. It's a perfect number. So how many times must you forgive your brother? Seven times seven, 70 times. Seven, okay? So the seventh day is the Sabbath day, the day of rest for the Christian. So seven, in other words, this stone has seven facets, just like a diamond. Not like a diamond. Similar to the cuttings of a diamond. So it's very beautiful. It's a perfect stone. In other words, it is a stone that's capable of removing every sin, so that all our sins can be removed. And when our sins removed, these sins, one day a stone will appear. And this stone will remove our sins. When? In one day. And when is that single day? It's the Day of Atonement. And what's the Day of Atonement? The Day of Atonement is, we go into a little bit of Old Testament. In short, it means that every day when Israelites sin against God, they have to offer sacrifices for the removal of sins. But there is a special day once a year where the high priest, and only the high priest, can enter into a place called the Most Holy Place, or some translations, the Holy of Holies, where it represents the presence of God. And then he enters into the, on Atonement Day, Yom Kippur, is it Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, right? Okay, I can remember. I think it's Yom Kippur, huh? Yom Kippur, you know, in Israel, you read newspapers, Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur, Yom is day, Kippur, I think, is atonement, yeah, Day of Atonement, yeah, Yom Kippur, in today's newspapers, you read newspapers, you may read this Yom Kippur day, yeah, that is the day I'm talking about, Yom Kippur day, okay, so Day of Atonement, and in other words, every year, there's a Day of Atonement where the priest will offer up sacrifices to cleanse the sins of the entire nation. And this Atonement Day actually represents a very special day. And when's that special day? It's the day when Jesus Christ died on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, every sin is removed. In other words, this stone represents Jesus Christ, who on the day that he died on the cross of Calvary, he removed all our sins. And that's the reason why Christians can serve God. And that's the reason why Christians, although we sin regularly, and the Lord have mercy on us, yet, despite the fact that we are sinners, terrible sinners, yet we enjoy the favor of God. Why? You say, why? Christians sin so many times, then God's still not angry. No, God is angry, God disciplines. But God will never be angry to the extent that he sends us to hell. It will never happen. Christians, when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord, right? We will never perish in hell. We are saved for all eternity. We are eternally secure. Praise and thank God. Why? But I just sinned yesterday, you know. Am I going to hell? Yeah, I die and I don't have time to confess my sins. Am I going to hell? You won't. Because Jesus Christ has forgiven you all your sins. Thank and praise God. Your sins are absolved. And that's the reason why we can serve God. And that's the reason we can find favor with God. That's the reason when we pray, when in trouble, we pray to God, God will hear. Because of this Atonement Day that represents the death of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. So that we enjoy the favor of God, so that we can have the presence of God, so that we can build, by when we work hard to build the temple inside us, the spiritual temple inside us, we will enjoy the presence of God. And the result is what? Verse 10. In that day, each of you will invite your neighbor to sit under your vine and fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty. What do you mean by sit under your vine and fig tree? Now, every Old Testament Jew understand their meaning. It means there'll come a day where we can live in prosperity under this fantastic ruler. And in this case, we know this fantastic ruler is Jesus Christ himself. So there'll come a day because of this, because of the power of the branch, because of the so that there's unstoppable life, because of the power of the stone, so that our sins are forgiven, we can look forward. We can look forward to a glorious day. The day that we can sit under your vine and fig tree and enjoy the prosperity, the wholesome blessing of God. Material, spiritual, mental, every aspect of it. And ultimately, it represents actually temple. But for now, we enjoy it too because it represents our Christian life, the presence of God. So it signifies victory, peace, prosperity in the country. Now, it means now, today, it represents the presence of God. Future, it represents the future glory in heaven. Dear Christians, I know that life is difficult. Even the idea of coming to church sometimes is a struggle because sometimes I know some people have to work on weekends. Life is difficult because as we try to say, I must be a good Christian at work, but then there are so many difficult people in my midst. Make my life so difficult. I say, difficult is not with me, I think I can be a good Christian. We think like that, right? But let me tell you something. Our life, the things that happen in our life, the people who enter our life, they never happen by chance. When God puts a difficult person in your life, when God puts a problem in your life, they do not come by chance. It comes from the Almighty, but loving hand of God. God arranged it. And God, so what I'm trying to say is that life is never ideal such that you can enjoy, you can build your Christian life. You can work hard and you can build your Christian life in comfort. There's never such a life. Christian life is always like that. We grow spiritually in the midst of opposition. We are Christians. We live as Christians in the midst of opposition. There is no such thing as I can be a good Christian if only my situation is good. It will never happen. There's no such life. It is always, I want to be a good Christian in difficult situations. Difficult situations is a given. It's a matter of whether will you be good or bad. So what I'm trying to say is that, dear Christian, you can enjoy the presence of God and a victorious life, but you must build your temple. Just as the Jews are now saying, look, you have the power of the branch and you have the forgiveness of sins that comes from the stone. Go and build God's temple and enjoy God's presence. Same here. Today, you must step out of your comfort zone courageously, Go and build your Christian life. I know there are many oppositions that will derail you, that will pull you back from doing what you should do. For example, doing what pastors tell you to do. Come for worship, attend for assembly, come for fellowship, do a Bible study, read your Bible, pray, serve God. It's a broken record, lah. I say every year. Lah. Until I say, until they're very pious, I say maybe I don't say this year. But cannot. After that, I repeat myself, do a quiet time, read your Bible, attend your fellowship, come for worship, don't miss worship service, keep away from sin. It's a broken record. Lah. So, but you have to take responsibility for your own Christian life. You are an eagle. You are capable of flying. It's a matter of whether do you want to take courage and step up your comfort zone and test God. You'll find that God can be dependent on. If you step up your comfort zone to build a Christian life, you will succeed. And then your life will be very, very special. This is something not theoretical, no? This is something that has been evidenced in many great Christians in the past. There are many Christians who can tell you the same. You think what? People who serve God, people who serve God, you think we have extra time? There's never extra time. We squeeze out time in the busyness of life. But God gives grace to serve God, to do our work, to be a family man, live a balanced life. Not balanced life. To be honest, I don't think it's such a thing as a balanced life. If you are going to live the Christian life, you've got to make sacrifices by faith. It's a life that is lived by faith. Never balanced one. There's no such thing as, I want to live a balanced Christian life. To me, this thing is a myth. It's a myth. There's no balanced life in Christian. Because every aspect of your life, you can do it. It's a matter of how much time to put into each aspect. It's a matter of wisdom, brother. And making sacrifices and trusting God. So I want you, in this, the year has just started. You know, when you see your child forever that height, how you feel? Every you measure, oh, that height. Then he says, oh, still this height. How you feel? Say, oh, you feel very sad, right? Now, dear Christian, if every year your Christian life is this height, never changing like the mountains, don't you feel sad for yourself? You don't feel sad? I feel very sad for you, no? Your life is the life of an eagle. But yet you look at other eagles and say, hey, wow, I really envy you. How I wish I don't have all the problems in my work, in my family, then I can fly like you. But you don't need to wait for that day. You are capable of doing it if only you step up your comfort zone and just obey God. Obey God. Do what the Bible says. You'll be fine. You'll succeed. I want to speak to a non-Christian friend. In 1 John 3:2, it says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. People who are not Christians get cancer. Christians also can get cancer. People who are not Christians may face retrenchment. You know that child of God, children of God, you and me, Christians, can also face retrenchment. We are not very much different. Then you say, what's the point of being a Christian? Let me tell you what's the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. Let me read that again. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what will be has not yet been known. Why? Because we all, like the rest of the world, we have a struggle with life. But our very fabric, our very nature, is the nature, has this special nature called the children of God. And because we are in actual fact, although it's not crystal clear, but the fact is this, the Bible tells us that we are different from a non-Christian. Because we have the nature of God in us, they don't have. And because we have the nature of God, with the presence of God, with the help of God, we can live victorious life even in the midst of opposition. So we are like not the rest of the world. What we will be has not yet been known. We are children of God. That's how we feel sometimes, right? But the Bible tells us but the fact is we are children of God. We can fly like an eagle. If only we'd allow God to help us. So what's the difference between us and non-Christians? When we face difficulties, when we pray, if we have faith in God, we will overcome opposition. That's the difference. They cannot, but we can. Because they don't have the presence of God we have. And one day, the second part of this verse, but we know that when Christ appears, one day when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But this hidden nature of the child of God will not be forever hidden. One day you will full bloom. One day you will full bloom. Say, hey, I'm really a child of God. Look at me now. I'm in glory. Dear non-Christian, today I urge you to come and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Why? Because when you believe in Jesus, you receive the life of God, the presence of God, to help you through life. Number two, for Christians, we have a better tomorrow. We have something glorious to look forward to. And let me tell you unapologetically, you don't have. What do you have to look forward to? Let me tell you what you have to look forward to. The Bible says, just as it is destined for man to die once and after that to face judgment, you look forward at death to the fearful prospect of being judged for your sins. And no one will pass his judgment, because even a little bit of sin will send you to hell. It's enough for you to perish in eternal torment in hell. Because that's how serious God is about holiness, about sin. But today, when you come and believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, in this life, the Lord helps you through life. In the life to come, the Lord ensures you eternal life in heaven. Why wouldn't you come and believe in your Savior, Jesus Christ, today? Don't resist God. Don't resist God. It will do you no good. Come and believe in Jesus today. Time is catching up. Let me just recap. We live in a body that's filled with many weaknesses. We also face daily pressures of life, sicknesses, difficult people, etc. Yet we can experience God's presence and victory. Why? Because we are symbols of a future glory. We have the power of the unstoppable life of the branch, and we have the forgiveness that's offered by the stone. The branch. We are symbols of the branch, which represents our Savior Jesus Christ as his kingdom that brings the unstoppable, wholesome life. Because we are symbols of the branch. Therefore, in this life, we have the ability to face opposition. Stone. We are symbols of the stone, which represents the complete removal of sins. Thus, we are assured of God's favor. Therefore, what must you do? Do your part. God has done his part by giving you the branch, the stone, the power of the branch, the power of the stone. Your part is to work hard, step out of your comfort zone to grow spiritually. May the Lord help you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us your word, for comforting us your word. Life is so difficult. There's so many uncertainties, so many challenges, and many are beyond us. Life is like a mad rush. And we sometimes feel as if we are losing control of our own life. Because there are many things that we find it beyond ability to handle. But Lord, we want to thank you that as children of God, when a person accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, for a Christian, we are not afraid. We are great eagles who can fly. And then hence help your people to step out of our comfort zone, to build this temple that is in us, to pursue spiritual life fervently, to work hard at our spiritual life, at growing spiritually, so that we can enjoy the presence of God, and then life will be a happy life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.